But no, she just to sit down. Those are really cute bunnies. And I was trying to figure out how to work them into my sermon. Maybe. We'll see. That is... Don't need that anymore. All right. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, verse 39. And if you were a kid and you're not used to sitting through church, I'm going to try to preach fast today. So hopefully it won't be too boring. And you can just practice sitting nicely, really nicely, okay? So your mommies can listen or your daddies can listen. All those daddies who deal with toddlers all the time. All right. So, the man with the plank. Luke. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. He, that is Jesus, also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? No. Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Okay, so we have three different parables, and it's kind of confusing. We get these things in Jesus' teaching often, where you have these things and they're kind of disconnected, and you're wondering, how in the world do these things go together? And so we have to think, how in the world do these things go together? Because generally, when there's parables stacked up next to one another without explanation, they're together for a reason. And they're making a point together. And so when we come to these, we have to think, how do these things work together to teach us? All right, section one, Solomon's paradox. It is 1,000 times easier to see another's sin than your own sin. Now, I don't know if I mentioned Solomon's paradox here or at my old church. This is the trouble. I like think of something. I'm like, did I already preach about that? Okay, I don't think I said this. Solomon's paradox. This is awesome. So Solomon was the wisest man in all of the earth. He was renowned for his wisdom. People would come and, you know, the whole thing with the sword and slicing the baby in two. And people were like, whoa, this guy's super, super wise. And he was a mess in his personal life. You know, he's like all these foreign women. He's leading his heart astray. Like, he was so smart and so stupid at the same time. He could solve everybody else's problems, and yet he was constantly a train wreck himself. Now, Solomon's paradox, and this is the same way, is that all of us are like this. All of us are much better at giving other people advice than we are to actually listening to advice. And Jesus makes this point rather clear. It's so much easier to see other people's flaws than our own flaws. And we need to be hyper aware at this, because we can get really judgy really fast because, oh, look at all those terrible things all of those other people are doing, and we miss it ourselves. There's so much data to back this up, and we've all done this. A lot of us are married, but if you think back to when you were dating or seeing other people date, and so many times you see a friend of yours and they're just in a bad relationship. Like, they're in this relationship and it's going to end horribly. And you know this, you can see it, it's obvious to you, but it's not obvious to them. And it's really easy to see those things, and yet, those of us who maybe a time or two got into a bad relationship, when you're in that relationship, you don't realize it. You don't see all of the things that are going wrong, because it's easier to see other people's sin. This is, And I think the ratio here, the ratio is it's 1,000 times easier to see another person's sin than your own sin. And that ratio comes from the speck and the log. Or literally, it's actually the speck and the beam. The word here for that they translate log, it's actually like the beam of a house. If you have the King James, it says beam. Oh, good. Close the door. Background better for the video. The beam. And so a beam of the house, if you're imagining this is like giant beam. Anybody, you know, seen like a big truss for a house, you're building a house to see the big thing? Imagine one of those sticking out of your eye. You're like walking around. You're like, whoa, this beam just like knocking into everything. Like it's, the picture is supposed to be absolutely ridiculous and funny. But the fact is that this is often what we are like. We go around with all of our problems that we're totally, totally blind to, looking at every little speck in everybody's eye that's so obvious to us. How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? Now, the context of verses like these are important. So, just before, and this is a sermon last week, Jesus said, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." And now, the connection between, you know, seeing the speck in your brother's eye and missing the log in your own, and the command, "Judge not," is very obvious. It's a prime example of unjust judging behavior, is being a hypocrite and pointing out other people's sin while ignoring your own. It is 1,000 times easier to see another's sin than our own. And I know this no more than I know it myself. Because I can think of so many times in my life when I'm usually lying in bed at night and I'm kind of rehearsing in my head all of the ways that my wife hasn't like lived up to my expectations. You know, like literally, like really. So this is me sitting thinking like, "Oh, look at all these things, all these ways she slighted me, and oh, whitey, Pastor Matt." And it's like, and I'm like grumbling here and thinking of other people. "Oh, people haven't thought very well of you." I'm grumbling here. I'm like, "Oh, my kids haven't, no baby." I'm grumbling sitting here all the while knowing that God has commanded, "Be merciful, judge not." God has commanded all of these things. And here I am with this giant beam sticking out all the way to the roof, complaining about every little speck of all the people around me. And when I'm angry like that, I just can't see my own sin. Like I'm wallowing in sin and I can't see it. And this is so often the case. When we're angry, when we're hurt, we feel justified. Like, "Yeah, I'm justified in my sin. Look at all these things these other people have done." Jesus says, you know, we need to be more sensitive, and this is, we need to attune our hearts. We need to tune our hearts to realizing that every little thing that we're thinking about, all these things, the people, we got this list of things. So these are my grievance list, and we're picking it out. These things seem so big, and Jesus says, take that list and crunch it down to about 1,000 the size, 1,000th the size. And look at it. It's still there. There's still grievances. They're real. And yet, now you can properly compare it to your own heart. Okay, so we're bad at this. Really easy to see other people's problems, hard to see our own. So how do we become more self-aware? My wife is hoping at this point that I listen to this sermon. How do we become more self-aware? So how to become self-aware in five easy steps. Five easy steps. Oh, five difficult? Should I write my notes? In five difficult and treacherous steps. Okay. Okay, there's no easy steps for this. All of the steps are difficult and hard. I'm not selling you anything easy here. Now, Jesus' advice is, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you're going to be a help. And so what we need to do is become attuned to the issues that we have in order to be a help to others. We need to train ourselves to be more sensitive to our own sins than to the sins of other people. Now, this is any time you're sitting down and you're thinking about yourself, dangers are very close. Like, it's a very dangerous thing, because if we're prone to being overly self-aware, we can get into difficult territory very quickly. And it's easy to get into difficult territory, and we're going to talk about that in like point two of the next one. But anyways, it's so important to be able to be self-aware, because if we cannot acknowledge our own flaws, we are going to spend our life going around being like the man with the plank, hurting people in any myriad of ways. We are going to hurt people if we are not self-aware. My wife is looking at me like, you need to learn this. True. Because as Christians, we cannot be hypocrites. This is what people say on the outside. It's like, I don't want to go to church, they're full of hypocrites. I'm usually like, I know, that's why they're here. We're learning, we're trying to get better. But anyways, people don't want to go, they're full of hypocrites. And we don't want to be the doctor that smokes 10 packs of cigarettes a day telling people don't smoke. We don't want to be the alcoholic dad telling his son not to drink. We don't want to be the self-righteous preacher wagging his finger at all of those sinners out there, all the while nursing all sorts of ungodliness when he goes home. Nobody wants to be a hypocrite. So despite the dangers of self-inspection, I think it is a necessary thing in order to grow. So, how to become self-aware in five steps. Step one, admit that you are blind to your sin. Now, speaking of blindness, it's about time we circle back to Jesus' first parable. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they both not fall? Will they not both fall into a pit? Now, pit here, this isn't like a pothole. Well, maybe some of our potholes. This is like a bottomless pit in which you fall into. You like fall forever, like the movies. That's the kind of pit. It's like this is going to end in absolute disaster. And Jesus is really kind of alluding to the fact that if you're being led by a blind person, you're going to end up in hell. That's what Jesus is getting at. As Christians, second, verse 40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. And Jesus is going on the fact that there are people with planks, there's people who are blind, and because we are naturally somewhat blinded, we need to learn. We need to learn. A disciple isn't above his teacher. He needs to be fully trained. Christians need to learn, when we begin our journey as disciples, Jesus doesn't just zap us with a holiness gun and make us all we're supposed to be, but he has given us an opportunity to learn over time as disciples and become fully trained. That's learning. And in many ways, with Jesus, we have to spend our whole lives being disciples, learning in humility God's grace. Now, we need to know where we fall short in order to grow. And so the first step is explaining, I have a problem with sin. My name is Matthew Verhoeg, and I have a problem with sin. That is the first step. Step two. I didn't copy these from Alcoholics Anonymous, but there is some overlap. Second, know the gospel. 1 Timothy 1:15. The saying is trustworthy and full of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. We need to know the gospel. If we are going to be introspective, if we're going to realize that we have different problems in our life, we're going to sit down, and all of a sudden, if we sit down and we start pondering ourselves, all of a sudden we're going to be like, oh my goodness, I have a giant beam sticking out of my eye, and this is terrible. And it is very easy to get stuck at that point. It's very easy for Christians, and it happens all the time, and that some people hear this sermon and they're like, oh, think about my problems. I think about my problems all the time. That's all that I think about. And it's really easy to get stuck in this point of where I see my problem and it's hopeless. I see my problem and it's hopeless. I have this giant beam sticking out of my eye and I can't be a help to anybody. It's all over. And this is where all of us need to know the gospel. Jesus Christ died for sinners, of whom I am the foremost, says Paul, when he's mature, he's going to die pretty soon. He is like at near the end of his race, and he's still thinking, sinner, I the foremost. And the reason why he can say that, and it's the reason why we can look at our sin and not feel any sense of hopelessness or dread, it's because we know without a doubt that Jesus Christ saves sinners. And so that we don't need to despair in our sin. We don't need to say, woe is me, I have this problem. We don't need to get stuck at that point because we know we can repent to God. We can believe the gospel and we can have freedom in Jesus Christ. Said, yes, God, I am a sinner. I have this plank in my eye. I have all of this anger bent up against somebody. But I know I am forgiven in Jesus Christ. Having introspection, being self-aware, you need to understand the gospel. And once you understand that, you can think more. Step three, be quiet before God. I think that all of us need to take more of a break from entertainment, music, radio, everything. I sometimes ponder this. I'm like, what did I do before I had my smartphone to just flip open and dull my mind with Facebook or, you know, some endlessly scrolling, like, entertaining thing? Like, did I just sit there? Like, what did I do? I don't even remember anymore, hardly. And it's like, Satan has us with our minds frantically looking at this or that, just dreading being bored for a second, because if we're bored, if we're silent before God, something might happen. So all of us need to spend a little bit more time in quiet, in prayer, before God, saying, Lord God, show me where I need to change. Show me where I need to change. Step four. Consider your life in the light of God's commands. Now, some people, they sit They're quiet, and they're like, wow, am I ever awesome. Now, this happens to me sometimes. I don't know. There are different people. There's some people who are like, yeah, they always know their sin really well. There's other people, maybe like me, who are always like, wow, am I ever great. And so both of you, you know, you're probably going to hear the sermon in different ways, but I trust the Holy Spirit to figure it out. So if you're like that, you know, what you need to do is compare yourself to God's commands. And really, when we're thinking of where we measure up, we should be measuring ourselves against God's commands and not like some standard of the world. We shouldn't be sitting there, oh, woe is me because I don't look like all those girls on Instagram. Not looking at anybody in my family. Woe is me for that. We should be thinking, woe is me, I don't love my neighbor. I don't really love my neighbor. Or I don't love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Like, Jesus gave it pretty easy for the commands. Love the Lord your God with all your, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, yeah. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty simple. If that fails, you know, you can get to the more specific ways of loving, which are in the Ten Commandments. Love your neighbor by not taking his property or wanting to take his property or desiring his wife or desiring anything that is your neighbor's. As we think about God's commands and all of the ways that we might fall short of love, all the ways that we might fall short of all that he has commanded us, it's going to do three things. One, it's going to make us realize how far we fall short of God's glory. As soon as I think about all the ways that I failed to love my neighbor, it makes me think, wow, am I ever falling short of God's glory? Am I ever a sinner? And that leads me back to, I need to be saved by Jesus Christ. And secondly, when I think about my sin and how I need to be saved by Jesus Christ, how that I am saved by his grace and mercy alone, all of a sudden, the whole thing about have mercy on others and not judge others becomes really personal to me, because all of a sudden I'm like, wow, how can I judge them for their little sin when I see how much I fall short as well? And so there's an equalizing. When we compare ourselves to God's standards, we see, yeah, they might be an alcoholic and causing all this trouble. I see all of the ways that I have hated and all of the ways I've failed to love. And so I look at him instead of with hatred, I look at him with mercy and love. And third, as we repent of our sin, understanding God's mercy, show God's mercy, we can actually get rid of that beam from our eye. And we can actually grow in holiness by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit changing us day by day. All right, five. Have a friend check our blind spots. Now, Jesus ends this passage not with, you know, don't look at other people's specs. He says, after you take the log from your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck. The speck still matters. Like the small sin that's like 1,000 times less big as your sin, it still matters. Jesus wants us to work together as people to grow in holiness. Now, when I was a kid, we had what we called the baby blue bus. I come from a big family. We had 8 kids in my family. I'm looking at you guys. And we had 8 kids. We had 8 kids. So I grew up, and in order for us to all go someplace all at once, we were no longer fitting in a minivan. So we got what we called the baby blue bus. It was an 11-passenger light blue van. And it wasn't that great. It was big, it was boxy, and if you were driving on the highway, you couldn't see what was to your right almost at all. And so when we were on trips, the person sitting in the passenger seat would have to say clear in order for you to pull back in, because you might just, you know, make a pinto go into the median. So this is the thing with us. All of us have blind spots. Now, this is illustrated by Jesus' command. But Jesus commands, you know, you have the log in your eye and you're looking at the speck in others. The log is generally obvious to people around us. This is one of the great things. This is why marriage ends up sanctifying us so much. We live together with somebody and they're just like log, 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 log. And we're like, no, none of those things are really bad. And now over time, you begin to realize, oh, wait, all of those things are bad, and I didn't even get to any of the really big things. And so it becomes really obvious. Now, as we as a Christians, as a church, and this especially goes to, you know, single people around us, we need to be in the kind of fellowship so that we can say, hey, brother, I see this going on. What do you think? Is you think this is Christ-like? And you need to have somebody in your life who's going to be willing to come and tell you that, because that's a true friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, because all of us are blind to all this stuff going right over here on our passenger side. We don't see it because, you know, we're blind to ourselves, because we're 10,000 times more sensitive to other people's sin than our own. And so we can go and we can ignore it, and we just have such a hard time seeing it. We need each other to grow in godliness. As a church, we do not want to be the blind leading the blind. Hopefully, I'm not blind. But the thing about the church is that in different ways, all of us are called to be teachers. Every single one of us. This is the priesthood of all believers. In some ways, there is someone out there for you to be teaching. Now, in order to teach them, you have to not be blind. That is, you need to keep your eyes focused on Jesus, learning from him till you're mature. You need to keep your eyes, like, you need to be more sensitive to your own sin than others. But there's someone out there who needs you to go, hey, man, I saw you post this on Facebook last week. You think this is a good idea? And when we have someone who's like that, that's when we can grow in godliness. This is the part of the sermon where I have a summary. Section one. Oh yeah, then you'll see clearly. I was gonna say that. All right. Section one, Solomon's paradox. It's 10,000 times easier to see another's sin than your own. How to become self-aware. Admit you're blind to your own sin. Two, know the gospel. We're saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, be quiet before God. Five, consider your life in light of God's commands. And five, have a friend to check your blind spots. Now, often we're really polite Canadians, and that friend isn't going to be like knocking on your door. You might knock on his door and say, hey, you know, check my blind spot, because I don't see this. I'm not very self-aware. My prayer for our church is that we would be the kind of people who are willing to recognize our faults. The people would see us and say, you know, those people, they aren't perfect, but at least they know they're not. At least they're humble enough to recognize all of the ways they fall short. And so that they see us and they see they're a people who know God's mercy. They're not perfect, but they know God's mercy. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite up the worship team to lead us home. Lord God, I pray that you would guide us. You guide us to understand who we are in your light. That we would know we're saved by grace, and yet striving always towards your holiness, so that we might become fully trained. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.